Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR, Todd Tranowski. Thank you for joining us this week and every week. Glad to have you aboard as we enter into the midpoint of July. It was good to see a bunch of you earlier this week at the Midwest Association of Rail Shippers Conference up in Wisconsin. I know a lot of you had a very good time, played some good golf, got some rest and recharge time with your families on either end, but it was great to see you, great to be back in person, great to be seeing everybody and getting a feel for where things are. So let's jump in a little bit and let's talk about what to expect this week, what we've seen from the markets. And really, things have bounced back just the way you would expect from the July 4th holiday. We took a decline in the holiday week 2 weeks ago, and then in the data that came out this week for the week after the July 4th holiday, things bounced back, and things bounced back better than we've seen in prior holidays. If you think back to Memorial Day, what did a lot of sectors do? They bounced back, but they didn't bounce all the way back to where they were before the holiday. This time, we got back to those levels in most cases. There are some exceptions, but by and large, everything got back to its pre-July 4th holiday level. That's an improvement. That is something that is good to see. It's something that we're pleased to see. It says that demand to move freight by rail remains strong, despite the service issues that have been going on for the last years, despite the labor issues that remain top of mind, despite the continuing disruptions of the supply chain. We talked for a while about labor issues around the West Coast ports. What we did not expect is that the Port of Oakland is essentially shut down because of a trucker's protest related to AB5. Those of you that listen also to Avery Weiss's Trucking Market Update podcast are well aware of what AB5 is. Yeah, but for those of you who aren't, just the Cliff Notes version is that it is a California law that is now allowed to take effect after the Supreme Court decided not to take the case last month. And what it says is that trucking firms really, for all intents and purposes, can't employ independent contractors. Well, drayage trucking is predominantly, if not nearly exclusively, an independent contractor model. And so you have a bunch of drayage truckers who are striking at the Port of Oakland and have brought cargo flows there to a near halt. And there are comments out today from the Port of Oakland, basically saying that those actions are going to create diversions to other ports, namely the San Pedro Bay ports further south in California of Los Angeles and Long Beach. Well, those ports have record volumes. Those ports have congestion. Those ports have issues. And the railroads that serve those ports also have issues. They have issues around resources. So if they get inundated with additional volumes, or if that volume even moves to other ports on the East or Gulf Coast, there are not necessarily resources in place to meet that demand. And so there is additional disruption in the intermodal space, in the import space, that we're going to have to digest and understand what its impact is. We won't know the full impact of the issues until later in August when we get port volume information for July from the ports. But at least in the near term, other ports, other members of the supply chain are going to have to react to those issues at the Port of Oakland as we go forward. At least for the moment, though, intermodal loadings really have not skipped a beat. As we said, they came right back to where they were before the July 4th holiday. In fact, a little bit above where they were running into the holiday. Not back to where we were at Memorial Day, but better than we were for the intervening six or so weeks in between the summer holidays. And we're essentially right at the five-year average and right at last year. That's a good sign for intermodal. That says that there's a balance. It says that we're going to ramp into the peak season the way we normally would expect to. And the trailer market also bounced back significantly from the July 4th holiday. Now, it's still at a weak level. It's still below the five-year average. It's still below last year. But we did come all the way back to where we were before the holiday. That's a good sign. As the trailer market normalizes and gets back in line with its 2019 levels, that is good to see that we're not going to take a further step down coming out of the July 4th holiday. Containers, a little bit stronger than overall intermodal, but not by a ton. Essentially the same trajectory here, and as you've heard me say countless times on this podcast, you would expect that. Containers are 90% of the overall intermodal marketplace. If containers weren't roughly in line, you would start to have questions about the data and about the data integrity. Let's talk about the carload market now. Carload markets did not perform as well as intermodal. They didn't get all the way back necessarily, but they certainly got within spitting distance, particularly when you account for a little bit of a run-up that we saw in the week before the July 4th holiday. If you exclude that from the analysis, we did get back to where we were running for most of the period between Memorial Day and July 4th. That's a good sign, and we're basically in line with last year's levels. We're trailing the five-year average by a little bit, but we're right in line with last year, and we're treading water, which is good to see, because with all the headwinds that are out there, with all the service issues that are out there, with all of the headwinds and the uncertainties, carload volumes certainly could move to other modes, particularly in economically sensitive freight commodities, where you have a little bit of choice, where you're not a coal or a grain or a chlorine or an ammonia, where you are pretty well in a lot of ways tied to rail, where you have some optionality, those shippers could go elsewhere based on what they've been through. The carload number says that we're not seeing that in any material numbers. We're probably seeing a little bit around the edges, but we're not seeing it in a strong material way. Economically sensitive freight, a little bit weaker than the overall carload markets. And this is something we're going to have to watch for those reasons we just talked about as we go through the rest of the summer. We're basically right at last year, right at the five-year average here. But we're not as strong as the carload market. And so we're going to have to watch this. We're going to have to see this. We're going to have to monitor this as it goes forward when we think about things, when we look at things going forward. But this is economically sensitive. So this is no coal, no ag, no petroleum. Just things like lumber, things like metals, things like automotive. Those sectors that are more closely tied to that underlying economy and that are going to be the ones that drive volume growth going forward, that are going to be the ones that drive where things go as we go through the weeks, months, and quarters ahead. Switching gears to the bulk side of the business, coal markets remain okay, and they remain, you know, they bounced back, you know, basically to or a little bit above where they were running before the July 4th holiday. They're basically at last year's levels. They're below the five-year average, but they're not going to the five-year average. Coal markets to get to the five-year average would need something almost cataclysmic to occur, and we're just not there. We don't forecast that, but we have seen a very warm summer across the Midwest, across Texas, which are large Powder River Basin coal-burning areas. So it's no surprise that coal is performing as well as it is, because in those regions, you have every available generating unit online and producing for the grid. So you're going to support this number at least through the next several months. Using Texas as an example, if you look at Houston, they had their warmest June on record, and they are on pace almost certainly to have their warmest July on record. What does that do from a practical standpoint? That means everybody's running their air conditioners. That means everybody's staying inside. They're running their computers, their televisions, everything else that goes into that, and that generates electricity demand. That generates additional coal-fired power demand and supports this number through the summer season. And so it's something we're going to have to really keep an eye on as we go forward to see just how long that strength sticks around. Grain volumes, this is a big disappointment. This is a sector that we expected to bounce back. We expected to ramp up into the harvest. And coming out of the July 4th holiday, we really didn't see it. We didn't see even a bounce back to where we were before the holiday. We're now running at a much lower level than we were before the holiday. And we still have hope that as we get through the third quarter, as we get into the harvest season, we will see this number jump up. But to this point, it has been a disappointment. It has been a very much a disappointing sector for much of the year. Many of you know I'm from Philadelphia. I'm a Philadelphia sports fan. The grain market has really performed a lot like the Flyers did this past hockey season. They had great expectations, great momentum, great anticipation, and then they sort of fell flat and really disappointed. That's what grain has done through the first two plus quarters of the year. And we hope that grain will turn it around the same way we hope the Flyers will turn it around in this fall and winter when the hockey season gets back in front of us. The chemicals market, it bounced back, but it also was unimpressive out of the July 4th holiday. It bounced back. We're basically in line with our five-year average, basically in line with last year, but not back to where we were running before the holiday. We'll have to watch this as we go forward to see what happens here. We don't anticipate that we're going to stay at these lower levels, but it is something we will keep an eye on. The outlier was petroleum products. Petroleum products jumped significantly in the post-holiday week. Now, normally you do see a jump seasonally in this category in the week after July 4th, but this was certainly something of a more significant magnitude than we typically see, and it puts us above the range where we had been running really since the end of the pandemic in that 19,000 to 21,000 carload a week range. We're now up closer to 22,000 carloads a week, so that we'll have to see if it sticks. It's only 1 week, but it's certainly something that we have our eye on as we get through the summer here. Stone, sand, and gravel, it bounced back over the holiday. It's been strong really since the springtime, really since about Easter. This group, commodity group, has run fairly well. It's not run back to its five-year average, but it has outpaced the last year. It has shown some growth. It has shown some durability to its volume growth for stone, sand, and gravel, and that's good for construction. That's good for investment. That says that there's structures demand. It says that there's construction demand, that people are investing in larger capital projects, road projects, bridge projects, things of that nature, that things are going well. Another upside surprise, in addition to petroleum products, is the lumber and wood markets. Lumber and wood jumped up in the post-holiday week pretty substantially. We're well above last year at this point. We're even a little bit above the five-year average, and it's surprising that lumber and wood would jump out of a holiday when you consider the housing market, when you consider that mortgage applications fell to a 22-year low earlier this month. That would suggest that the housing market, the major consumer of lumber, is slowing down. But these numbers don't show that. These numbers show that lumber continues to be strong, continues to maybe poise itself for a strong second half. But it is, as I cautioned with some other commodity types, it is only 1 week of data. We need to see if it sticks. We need to see if it is durable. On the other side of the balance, sticking with forest products, pulp and paper. Pulp and paper has declined not just in the 4th of July holiday week, but for the week after the July holiday week, and in fact moved significantly down in the latest week, down to its low point of 2022. This is a sector that's below last year. It's well below the five-year average. This is a sector that we're going to have to watch. We've talked in the past about the headwinds pulp and paper is facing coming out of the pandemic. Those headwinds seem to be buffeting it as we start the third quarter. We'll have to see if it makes a recovery. Seasonally, you would expect a little bit of a recovery as we go through the third quarter, but we're going to wait and see on that. We're going to wait and see where things shake out for pulp and paper. Automotive volumes bounced up coming out of the holiday. We didn't see a lot of extended shutdowns at plants, is what that tells us. That tells us that they got right back to work. They're essentially at their five-year average level. So that tells us that maybe there's a little bit of easing of the supply chain issue, but it's certainly not over. It's certainly not done. It's certainly not the final chapter of that story as we go through the next several months, but we will stay on top of it. We would expect to see volumes inflect meaningfully positive above the five-year average when things fully unwind in the semiconductor space, when you start to see flows get back to normal levels. So let's wrap up and let's talk about it. Mostly, cargo and intermodal recovered as you would expect out of the July 4th holiday. There was a little bit of strength, a little bit of weakness, but those were the exceptions, not the rule. And as we look out further, you've got a lot of uncertainty. You've got service uncertainty that's actually not that uncertain. We think it's going to continue to be weak. We think service is going to continue to be below shipper expectation, below historical norms, below what folks have come to expect of doing business on the railroad, and the labor uncertainty. We have a presidential emergency board that was appointed by President Biden earlier in the week that staves off a rail strike for at least 60 days. Could be longer than that, but at least 60 days. Hence, that puts it right around the middle of September, right around that fall peak, right around that transition, right around folks ramping up for the holidays. So we'll have to see how that all shakes out. And of course, the port contract on the West Coast is still unsettled, still not there, still not a done deal. You have the added volatility, the added potential uncertainty around what's going on in Oakland. But we'll just have to digest those and digest the data around them over the next several months. I mentioned in my wrap-up that the rail strike, you push it out 60 days, that puts it into mid-September. The other thing in mid-September is the FTR conference. September 13th to the 16th in Indianapolis, you will want to be there. We have four great days this year of content on the truck freight side, the truck and trailer equipment side, the rail freight side, and the rail equipment side. We're back in person at the Crown Plaza Union Station in downtown Indianapolis. You will not want to miss it. Certainly, we have a lively agenda planned that could be even more lively if we get into a rail work stoppage at that same time. But we will certainly keep you up to date at the event on all of the latest iterations, all of the latest developments there, and what it means for your business. So don't think just because of that possibility that you have to stay close to the office, that you have to not come to the event. You can come to the FTR conference. We will keep you up to date on anything that happens in the rail space during the event itself. And with that, I'd like to thank everybody for listening this week. Thank you for joining me. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining me this week and every week. As always, if you have questions about what you hear in the podcast, what you've seen in the markets, feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team. We're always happy to talk about these things. This is why we get up in the morning, to talk about transportation, to talk about what's going on in these markets. Do reach out at any point. And with that, have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.